If everyone will stand for the introductory scripture, it's John chapter 3, verses 19 and 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he, doing the truth, comes to the light in order that his deeds would be made manifest, because it is with God that they have been accomplished. May be seated. And now we'll hear the message, Orlando Changes Nothing.
Good morning. A mongrel pervert and winner of this year's highest body count at a gay bar with an AR-15 has popped the bubble in a venue that has been touted itself as the happiest place on earth, Orlando, Florida, home of Disney World, that has hosted a gay pride day for many years. Well, the word gay used to mean happy. But cultural Marxism has made sure to call good evil and evil good in this day and age of political correctness. An unprecedented spotlight is now shining on what may be considered the gayest place on earth, at least as far as political expediency and intrigue of the establishment oligarchy. One could just as easily change the name of the entertainment complex on steroids to Dismal World as a two-year-old toddler was snatched and killed by an alligator during the same week as the Pulse nightclub for perverts and mongrels who staged a false flag operation following the pattern of other sloppy crisis actors pretending to shock the public with gratuitous and preposterous violence better left to Hollywood and Disney films. But a film of glazed vision blurs the sight of those who worship television and movies, the exclusive domain of Antichrist Jewry and the god Miramax. And God is not happy with the communities that are trying their damnedest to outdo Sodom and Gomorrah. Through all of this, rest assured, God is not mocked. Another grim story in Orlando is an assassination the day before the alleged shootout at the Pulse of Christina Grimmie, a singer contestant on NBC's The Voice, just 4 miles away. There are signs of the times for those with eyes to see. A deranged idolater of hers had the fantasy that they were going to get married until he was told, erroneously, she already had a boyfriend. So, he killed her and himself in a no-gun zone. Ironically, it was after the concert she had with the group called Before You Exit. And a few weeks earlier posted a song on YouTube called In Christ Alone that preceded her death with the lyrics, "No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home." She got the call. However, what we are not told about this self-professing Christian girl is that she whored herself out to Babylon for a successful singing career. Below are two pictures of the group Before You Exit, and her latest look, showing the band giving the devil's horn. And if you notice, in the background, you can't see it too well on the screen here, but it's their logo, which is the alchemical symbol for phosphorus. That took me half an hour to find out what that symbol meant, which is commonly associated with Lucifer in occult circles. And the young singer in an all-too-familiar all-seeing eye pose, a la blue hair, and the elven Evenstar necklace from Lord of the Rings. I looked that up also, which is a symbol of immortality. I ask you, is this Christian? Did she die in a ritual sacrifice as a precursor to the big event? I find her racial identity and her killer to be questionable, making the proposition of marriage or merging the holy with the unholy, Christ with the Antichrist, to be totally absurd. Another quirk is that she posted a song called Lean On in June 11th of 2015, exactly a year before she died, with the chorus, blow a kiss, fire a gun, repeated 12 times. Now, this incident definitely has an odor. Her brother, shown here, with a well-developed Hittite nose, tackled the shooter in which the gun discharged and again luckily eliminated the perpetrator from ever telling us anything at a trial. At a eulogy for his sister, he said, she loved this town, and she loved the Lord. And then he lumped the dead faggots who no longer had a pulse with his sister in his feeble attempt to give her sainthood, saying there was a huge tragedy in to Orlando, to the LGBT community and the whole world. End quote. And then he asked for prayers for the dead and for their friends and family. The mayor of her hometown chimed in, quote, your heart can be empty because you can't see her, or you can be full because of the love you shared. You can cry and close your mind, be empty and turn your back, or you can do what she would want. Smile and open your eyes. Smile, love, and go on. End quote. You know, there seems to be a New Age virus that's a far cry from the agape love of Christ, that of a higher duty to obey God rather than man. Just put your head in a bucket of mud while your home, community, and nation are going to hell. Just for the record, Mr. Mayor, faith is the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith, not sight. Now, the powers that were only want us to see their image of a satanic matrix, a fantasy world in contradistinction to the kingdom of God. A marquee at the concert hall where she sang has the message that reads, remember Christina, remember Orlando. Which begs the question, remember what? What are they trying to impregnate in our mind? That we should all be waving rainbow flags and riding unicorns at the carnival? We have a locust problem in America and Europe. Swarms of racial aliens devouring our land. Negress Attorney General Loretta Lynch had the audacity, or perhaps New Age imbecility, to suggest, in light of the Orlando false flag operation, that radical Islamic terrorism can only be fought with love. This is what the dark-skinned imbeciles running our nation represent. She said, quote, to the LGB community, we stand with you. The good in this world far outweighs the evil. Our common humanity transcends our differences, and our most effective response to terror is compassion, it's unity, and it's love. We're the Department of Justice, and we're here to combat terrorism on our soil with love bombs. Pay attention, America. It works. Terrorists melt. They feel our collective vibe, and they drop their weapons and take their fingers off the explosive detonators. They fall to their knees and weep. End quote. Woo! This she-monkey is the top law enforcement officer of the land. Should we just roll over and play dead as she wishes? Because you are a domestic terrorist if you don't turn in your AR-15 and 9mm pistol when they come knocking on your door. Well, white Christian Americans should just say no. Because those who call good evil and evil good will not and cannot repeal the Second Amendment because they don't have the spine. They can never erase Christ telling his followers to sell their coat and buy a sword. The time for turning swords into plowshares is after the great harvest when they shall not learn war anymore. But before that glorious day, Jude told his fellow believers, quote, that you contend. In other words, you fight earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints, the real saints that follow Christ. And the real saints are not Catholic clerics or pop singers, but stout Christian men and women who will die for their God and race. Furthermore, in Jude, he explains why we bear arms if necessary. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into promiscuity and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Is this not talking about the bastards and change agents usurping God's law today? With the traditions of man and the all you need is gooey love crowd. Now I want to remind you, though you all know these things, the Lord first saved a people out of Egypt and later destroyed those who did not believe. And the messengers, which kept not their first dominion, forsaking their proper abode, he has kept under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. In like manner, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them who indulged in sexual immorality and pursued strange flesh are on display as an example of those who sustain the punishment of eternal fire. Jude 1, 5 through 7. This is indeed talking about the purveyors of fear porn and their altars to Baal, their groves of abominations and ritual murder. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's not only good advice, it's a guarantee that we will be on the right course. In a news event like Orlando, it's easy to jump into one of many conspiracy theories. The enemy is happy to provide as many rabbi trails. I know it's usually rabbit, but I felt like crossing the T out and it would actually make more sense. To provide as many rabbi trails as there are people that will go down this or that path. But for the Christian, and especially the identity Christian, we must navigate through the valley of shadows and death and let the Holy Spirit give us direction. Miss Grimmie thought she was a Christian, but had no spiritual integrity. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I've been reading as much as I can on this very high-profile case because it dovetails with the 2016 election. I try to put great care into my titles, as you know, and I must give credit where credit is due in how this presentation today evolved. Last week in the Christogenia Forum, William Fink suggested that we should call it the Orlando Holocaust. And I thought that was very clever and appropriate. And then I was researching another article that caught my eye titled, Orlando Changes Everything. And thus the birth of my title, Orlando Changes Nothing. I was immediately repulsed by the author, the so-called Brother Nathaniel Kaplan, who is a repulsive Jew and clown dressed in an Eastern Orthodox costume. I have a long-standing policy of never quoting Jews or niggers because even if it's in the proximity of being the truth, it always has the leaven of evil and will spoil our course of instruction. The only time to quote the words of an enemy is to nail the lid on his coffin, not as a means of teaching. Otherwise, their abuse of Scripture is used against us. It is our weapon, not theirs. For the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. As far as the racial alien, the judgments of God are unknown to them. They cannot rule over us because they are lawless. If we submit, we lose. With Jews, we lose. And I don't want them judging the thoughts of my heart. This is God's law, which we usually only hear at Christmas time, from Jeremiah 10:2. Learn not the way of the heathen. Well, Kaplan is not our brother. The nature of the beast is that we have become a consumer nation. We acquire everything the world has to offer, but we hesitate over the Word of God. But Proverbs 4:7 stipulates that with all thy getting, get understanding. The enemy knows that if we don't get understanding from our own kind, then our people will learn things from non-Israelites and, God forbid, Jews. There's nothing that a heathen can teach you that you can't learn from a white man. Failure to avoid all appearance of evil, like the leaven of the Pharisees, is something that stunts are growing in grace, in developing a racial consciousness to protect the well-being of his flock. I can't believe the infatuation some so-called Christian identity pastors have with this Negro preacher, Pastor Manning, from New York City, because he's critical of Obama. But did you know he conducts interracial marriages? And that's more than just a little leaven. Jeremiah is talking about race, not just Christmas trees. The heathen that he speaks of are vain works. They're worthless, wrought in mockery or errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. Such is not the portion of Jacob. It's not our part to be worthless by repeating the wisdom of lower primates. Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. He didn't say, let my sheep feed off the goats. For the shepherds have become foolish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, the whole pasture or society has failed, and the sheep have been scattered. Behold, there comes a sound of a noise of a great earthquake from the land of the north to make the cities of Judah a desolation and a resting place of ostriches. That's only in the Septuagint, by the way. God has a rather sense of humor with the analogy of the proverbial cartoon burying their heads in the sand. Ostriches, get it? Most Americans are oblivious to conspiracies or the occult technology of illusion, or in plain English, being lied to on a monumental scale. But just like the ancient trees decorated with gold and silver, and oh, so pretty in the church sanctuary, they are all the work of cunning men. They are not men who are smart, but cunning and predatory. I mean, how many lies does it take to persuade a congregation that emulating a pagan practice will not incur divine wrath? What does it take to get a congregation to learn the ways of the heathen? Well, it starts with decking the halls with boughs of holly and ends with a stranger behind the pulpit preaching Baal. There most certainly is Baal worship in Judeo-Christianity today. The priestcraft willingly regurgitates what is popular with the majority, but an abomination to God. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. If Noah and his immediate family were the only ones who were perfect in their generations, meaning they were racially pure, then that means everybody else had forsaken their racial purity and mixed their blood with mongrels, or they refused to propagate the race and resorted to homosexuality. It was enough lies and cunning rationalizations that God brought a great flood upon them and killed them all. Doesn't make any difference in the debate over the flood being global or local. The point is that the Adamites got their information from the wrong sources. And it was their death sentence, their unbelief of Noah's warning. Having an undeveloped racial consciousness can be deadly for any white nation, and history proves it. Fast forward to the 20th century and the gargantuan fraud of the Holocaust, starting with the premise that Jews died, but escalates to how many died and how they died. This has turned into a very lucrative industry built on a mountain of lies. Why should the Jews stop there with such overwhelming success about an atrocity that never happened, the way they present the information, or should we say disinformation? Jewish lies matter. When the course of history is a voyage of another Titanic. It was the arrogance of man thinking the works of his flesh were unsinkable. We have the same mentality today with the perpetrators of false flag operations. William Fink and I will be discussing Horlando on his Friday online radio broadcast, June 1st, or July rather, excuse me. Bill made this interesting comment last week, quote, "Whatever happened at the Pulse nightclub is truly of no concern to us. We have no care for dozens of dead sodomites, and in fact, we would prefer to see either the end of sodomy or the end of all sodomites, whichever must come first. Neither do we have any care for the Arab bastard that allegedly did the shooting, so for us there is no pulse to speak of. But the lack of a pulse in the body of Christ, that is our concern. While the nation is mourning its sodomites, it should instead be mourning his children." End quote. Whatever happens in any of these immoral nightclubs should not reach the ears of our young ones. For the clients of these places of ill repute would like nothing more than free advertising for their degenerate proclivities. Pedophilia is closely linked to this lifestyle, and thus the need to recruit, being that it proves its predatory habit. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Ephesians 5:11 and 12. For years I've said that America is brain dead and the church is comatose. We are on the verge of flatlining spiritually. There is no pulse in the church. The pulse in Horlando is a disgusting illusion. But that should come as no surprise, as Christ told his disciples that he would be leaving the earth. The days would come when they would be longing for his return. The disciples eagerly wanted to know when. And Christ told them, as quoted in Matthew 24:37, "As it was in the days of Noah." And then in Luke 17:28, also added another clue. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, which we know refers to Sodom and its ultimate doom, where it rained fire. In other words, Christ is returning to earth when there will be rampant degeneracy and multiculturalism. The flood we're experiencing today is illegal immigration. And ironically, it was Latino night at the Pulse where the false flag transpired. And quite frankly, it's nearly impossible today to discern the difference between Latinos and Arabs. That's how far advanced the melting pot has gotten, that everything after its own kind can no longer be identified other than one homogenized hybrid for the Jew world order. Why? To control us and play God. Just a sidebar to racial identity. Some say there are good Jews and bad Jews. But that is not the implication of the good and evil figs of Judah. That is, the good were racially pure and the evil were mongrel. The problem arises when a racially pure Israelite becomes mongrelized mentally. They're on the boat too, the Titanic, that will not save them from the flood of aliens. The demise of Esau Edom does not make any provision for good, evil Jews, if I may use an oxymoron, because there are none. Likewise, the same can be said for all heathens, whom, as I quoted above from Jude 1:4, are designated for condemnation. It was early in the morning when the destruction came upon Sodom. What a dreadful surprise it must have been for the safe and secure citizens in their normal daily routines of carnality and worldly consumptions. And like the days of Lot, Jesus is saying in Luke 17:30, according to these things it shall be in the day the Son of Man is revealed. By revealed, we are to understand the second coming. Things will seem normal, but normal to perverts and race mixers. Jesus didn't say that all things would be in good working order or that there wouldn't be any chaos. Wickedness will be the routine norm, which we're looking squarely at right now. The same sense of false security was enjoyed by the Jews when the Roman armies came in 70 AD. They had a sense of omnipotence. The Rothschild dynasty and its ancillary aristocracy of the rich exude the same invincible arrogance as their predecessors. But because of Christian identity identifying the destroyers of the world, their inevitable day of judgment is nearing. It only gets closer with each passing day. Wherever they are, they will be found. And the law will be executed, not with love bombs, but the fires of prophecy. Orlando changes nothing. America is still slated for destruction. Albert Pike's plan for 3 world wars is still in the works. General Wesley Clark, a crypto Jew, his Freudian slip that they, the CIA, Mossad, were going to take take out 7 countries in the Middle East in 5 years is almost complete, except for Syria and Iran. The protocols of the learned elders of Zion are being fulfilled. Communism is alive and well in the USA. All 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto have been legislated into law. In all of these conspiratorial manifestations, miscegenation and same-sex marriage is part of their agenda. Jewish pundits can pit the pulse against the pastors of Christ, but draconian hate crime laws will only make us stronger and more determined. The ADL, Anti-Defamation League, expressed shock and horror over the attack on queers by an Islamic extremist. This shouldn't be surprising, being that the Talmud sanctions sodomy and that Jews bankroll many sodomite events. It has been established that the attacker was himself a sodomite and heathen, which the ADL coddles to the detriment of white nations. The ADL issued a decree to this effect, quote, "As we mourn the victims and extend our deepest condolences to the families and friends of those lost, we will redouble our resolve to fight against the forces of hatred and extremism that led to this barbaric act of hatred." End quote. I'm issuing this decree to the ADL. We are quadrupling our resolve to contend for the faith, to fight those who help the ungodly and love them who hate the Lord. Amen. Jews only love themselves as they collectively consider themselves to be the Messiah. For 2,000 years, the Jew has rejected Jesus Christ and wallowed in their murder of him. I am comforted with the revelation of John in 18:6. Reward her, meaning Mystery Babylon, of which the ADL is a part, even as she rewarded you. And double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. End quote. Babylon is in the throes of falling, as in the days of Noah. Speaking of floods, did you hear about the rains here and there? In West Virginia, they said on the news that it was one of those floods you see every 1,000 years. So far, 23 dead and more expected. CNN interviewed the mayor of one of the cities hardest hit. He was a Negro. While mostly white lower class folks are drowning and hundreds stranded in large numbers, the rainbow mutt residing in the White House is preoccupied with setting up an LGBT monument, designating it part of the national park system in honor of the Orlando false flag. There is only one arc for this madness, and it is Christian identity. The picture on the left is another downpouring of rain, causing floods in key places that may have affected the vote in Britain last week, which may have been the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that decided a crucial divorce case of our brethren Ephraim deciding to leave the European Union, an unelected committee defending the global economy of usury banksters. The EU has caused all the trouble of mass refugees flooding into Europe with a spike in rampant crime waves and the erosion of national identities. The British people said enough and have reclaimed their sovereignty. Most people are unaware of the fact that the logo of the EU is a depiction of an unfinished Tower of Babel with the motto, Europe, many tongues, one voice. And here's a picture. On the left is a painting by Pieter Bruegel the Elder, a Renaissance painter, depicting the unfinished Tower of Babel. And on the right, we see a manifestation of the EU advertising propaganda, actually the chutzpah, to clearly show their contempt for the biblical narrative of ancient times and God's will to scatter the nations when they commit the sin of dwelling with strangers. Notice the inverted stars. They're upside down, forming an occult pentagram. Thus, the EU is one of the most prominent manifestations of Babylon in the world today, and why the British vote was so significant. Please notice in Genesis 11:8 that God not only disbanded the multiculturalism at the Tower of Babel, but that, quote, they stopped building the city. Yay! We pray that God's covenant people sent a clear message for their contempt of a one-world government without Christ. In fact, the name British means covenant man, being derived from two Hebrew words, brith means covenant and ish means man. Israelites were and still are the covenant people of God, and they are the only race of people to whom pertains the new covenant, found both in Hebrews 8:8 and Jeremiah 31:31. White people need to ask themselves, which nation descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, and according to the Bible, were called great? Let's read from Genesis 12:2. And I will make thee great. I will make thee a great nation and will bless thee and make thy name great. It is self-evident from the history of the last 4,000 years, from the time of God's promise to Abraham, that there is only one nation that qualifies for this distinction, Great Britain. The Jews have threatened Britain with economic turmoil through their mouthpiece, George Soros and others, which only proves the nature of this wicked beast, that they never had any love for England in the first place. The same can be said for America. Ephraim's brother Manasseh, whose name means, and appropriately so, forgetful. We need to remember the law and the covenants, not Sodomites. No false flag can fulfill its purpose when there is divine intervention. God interferes in the affairs of man to fulfill his own purpose. His plan for the ages cannot be interfered with by the empires of man. They all come and go, And the last one of prophecy, the very last one, Mystery Babylon, shall be made desolate in 1 hour and shall be found no more at all. Orlando changes nothing, in spite of Nathaniel Kaplan saying it changes everything. You see, change agents like Kaplan try to cast a giant shadow larger than life, even if they're only 2% of the population and yet four times that in Congress. God controls 100%. The Most High is ruler over the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomsoever he will and sets up over it the lowliest of men. Boy, we can certainly see that. Kaplan acknowledges the Jewish script of calling good evil and evil good, but says political correctness wins the day. But the real kicker is his theory that Donald Trump has sided with the queers, and he has, by declaring that Orlando, quote, strikes at the soul of who we are as a nation and is an assault on the ability of people to love who they want and express their identity, end quote. Who we are as a nation is as in the days of Noah. Mr. Trump, we've gone into captivity for the very same reason as our ancient ancestors. They went whoring after other gods. Kaplan gives no mention to false flags and dismisses it as neither a terrorist act nor a hate crime, but rather gay-motivated. The sophistry of his argument is that false flags don't create the terror of heightened fear and the dialectic of all things, gun control. But his spin is that the terrorism and hate card will be played by the powers that were his secret cronies. No kidding, you think? He mistakenly thinks Jews control everything without giving God the slightest honorable mention. Kaplan changes nothing in the scheme of God's plan for the ages. And this is the insanity of taking vermin like him seriously, quoting him as if he has a grain of truth. It's all leaven. His parent theology was a murderer and a liar from the beginning of genetic Judaism in Babylon. He can never put on a costume and pretend to be the bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride is represented by true Israelites who have overcome the world, who guard the word of God with their lives. We don't give in to fear, for fear of the Jews, of the world's boogeymen, as Kaplan tries to inculcate the old hackneyed mark of the beast, a microchip implanted in your head or hand, connected to the matrix. We should be more concerned about our name written in the book of life. The more Orlandos that push the envelope of credibility, the more ludicrous they will appear to those who have eyes to see that it's the game versus God. He tries to inculcate the idea that the Jews' media changed the morality of America to accept the notion that men and women of the same sex have the right of marriage, or that men and women can reverse their gender if they so choose. He acts as if it's a done deal. But not even the art of the deal can put asunder whom God has joined together. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator? It is the Jew who says a false flag changes everything. God is not the author of confusion. But because of your unbelief, you can discount Malachi 3:6 at your own peril. But it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not destroyed." Conversely, if we do believe a lie, that the God of Israel is a versatile God who loves everybody, then that will be the beginning of the end for any hope we may have in advancing the kingdom of heaven on earth. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If we give quarter to human devils, we are most delusional. The happiest place on earth has become a den of vipers, a habitat of serpents devouring two-year-old toddlers, an occult mecca of ritual sacrifices, a bastion for replenishing a fresh stock of sodomites. The American family unit has been under attack for decades. The disintegration of our racial posterity is socially engineered to deny the rightful heirs of promise their inheritance. But we should not confuse cause and effect. The Jew may be the foremost peddler of all that is in the world. However, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. The merchants of death are trying to sell you a theater of blood, but there is no blood to speak of in the Orlando Holocaust, where there should be forensic signatures everywhere. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not enter the synagogue of Satan, a nightclub for LGBT subhuman garbage. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Only one sacrifice matters to white people, to wit, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Our race has the eternal problem of Adam falling from grace. Before Christ, our ancestors sought forgiveness through animal sacrifices. But that all changed with the cross of Calvary. By this will we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all Israelites, that is. I haven't delved into the plethora of evidence to prove that the Orlando shooting was a loosely choreographed drama with drama queens and media whores, because there's a greater import that begs your attention and focus. If we understand biblical principles, we cannot be manipulated by unscrupulous deceivers. If we place our values in the Word of God, we will not be persuaded by rabbi trails and post-hypnotic suggestions. There cannot be false flags without false shepherds who embrace the rainbow flag of sodomy. How fitting that the rainbow was a sign after the flood and that Christ is returning as in the days of Noah. Identity thieves walk among us and do not comprehend their wicked violations. The rainbow had nothing to do with the cause of destruction. It is tantamount to calling good evil and evil good. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light is our victory. Thank you.